everybody. This is the Fresh 55. So welcome to the show. We're going to be hosting today with Ombasa, Sophia, and Russell Washington. And we are going to have, I think, we're going to have a marvelous time. Look, Ombasa and I have been working buddies for decades. And we have conversations like this all the time, and we wanted to bring you in on it. Ombasa is an artistic healer, herbalist, intuitive, all-around sort of psychic superhero in my world. She is a profound presence. And I am, my background is in sciences, but I've also been trained in metaphysics and in the healing arts as well. And we've been having a series of conversations about that I like to call asking the question, what life is calling for? And it's a question that opens up a whole range of possibilities. So, Ombasa, welcome. You there?
I am here.
All right. How was that introduction?
That was beautiful, 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 and very, very inspiring. I'm sure everybody is inspired by it. So I would like to bring in the essence of the question that we have, the burning question.
Well, there's this idea, this principle that says, look, life is ubiquitous. It is pervasive. The ancients used to say, it is that in which we live, move, and have our being. We call it by a variety of names. Each of us is an expression of it. So when I write it down, I usually use a capital L for life when I say what is life. And how are we expressing it? How does it move through us? And what value do we bring to its expression where it continues to bring abundance and learn from itself and build on itself? Like the old Norse poem, so Odin used to say, life builds on life to life.
Absolutely.
So that's what the essence of that question is. And we want to just offer a word of grace and gratitude for everybody that's joined us today, because our objective always is to be a contribution to people's lives, right? So when we're talking about life, there are two living systems that are important in my work and in our work. Look, there's the one we live on and the one we live in, yes? So the one we live on, of course, is the planet, and the one we live in are our beautiful bodies, ours and the bodies of our fellow earthlings. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So in managing the questions that are being confronted us, so this is a very unique time in human history, right? We are at the nexus of so many different cycles coming together at the same time. It's kind of a unique time. They say there's nothing new under the sun, but really that's only true for the sun. The sun's been around for a long time.
That's right.
We can experience new things for sure. We haven't been around nearly as long, but there are challenges that the people of spirit, the people of source, are being asked to consider. I think when we look at the news and when we speak to each other, we say that we're in an existential crisis, right? And it is actually a three-pronged existential crisis. And we've managed our capacity as a force of nature in a way that confronts the opportunity for organized life to continue as we know it. And that's a challenge. That's a challenge. So let's ask some questions here.
Well, I feel that that's really starting off really good, because when we are talking, it's always about how do we move? How do we move from here? How do we deal with the recalibration is what I like to think about it as.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recalibration is the word that keeps coming for me over and over again. And it's really something that I have been dealing with. You know, I think about even this show and thinking about over and over, Mark has been like every meeting, you know, he's like, you know, you need, y'all need to do a show. You need to show, do a show. And every time it's almost like he's looking right at me and I'm not even, you know, sometimes I listen to it afterwards. And he's always like, you need to do the show. You need, and you know, it's been years since I've been on the radio and, mm-hmm. and I loved it when I had a show, but it was just being able to recalibrate or calibrate back into it was very, very difficult. And what I found was he kept asking and it kept jarring me some, you know, just like, oh, yeah, he's right. Oh, yeah, he's right. He says, you know, you all have things to say, so-and-so. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's right. I do have things to say. And so when this last meeting was last week on Saturday, and he said, you know, we need to do it. And it was the same words. But when Serena came in, it was almost like she matched up with him. And in me said, okay, now what's the time? Recalibration, deep dive, let's go, bold move, you know, all of those things. So recalibration, it comes up for me when I hear all the words that you just offer.
Yeah. And I want to thank you because you have been very instrumental in reminding me what time it is. And this kinds of conversations are for people who are, of course, seeking personal transformation. And that's what One to Listen is about. People call us, and whether it's a big or small shift that they're looking for, they want to create a transformation in their way of being, right? But this level of conversation is also for people who want to inspire a transformation in the world at large. And so one of the first things we really wanted to request from the people of spirit is say, look, consider that for many, many decades now, you have been training, you've been meditating, you've been doing your work, and you've been doing it in what, you know, in the boxing, like you've been sparring with getting the health that you want, getting the finances you want, causing changes in the world around you. And now we are saying, look, let's go out and see what we can do about causing a transformation in the world at large, especially in a world where we have those who have been selected as leaders just drunk on war, right? Running through the living system, sort of wasting resources, and basically just trashing the place. And we were talking last night that we were, you know, I was listening to one of the avatars of the modern cultural scene saying that we got to go to Mars. But when we interrogate, why do you want to go to Mars? It boils down to the concept that, look, we got to get out of here because the place is about to be trashed.
Absolutely. And that's what we were talking about, too. People feel like they're in a state of emergency, which the key word here is emergence. You know, it's time. It's a time of emergence. It's time to order up some happy. It's time, you know, to use those brain cells, you know, those one over, what is it, 100 million brain cells? It's worth keeping around. You
I don't
know?
Have that number, but I know we have 7 billion somatic cells, each of which is an intelligence in and of itself.
Definitely.
And all of the molecular activity at the center of every molecule, at the center of every atom, is a number of protons. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but when you talk about entanglement, let's circle back to emergence. Because, you know, people throw out law of this and law of that. I think the great master avatars have each and every one of them told us in their own way. But the Master Yeshua spoke to his disciples and said, look, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Nevertheless, still even like a couple of thousand and a half years later, when people speak of heaven, when the average spiritual person speaks of heaven, they look up, they point up, they look around, right? But if we were to go to the OBGYN and say, look, there is a new life inside of you. Would we go running all here all across the hills looking for the baby? No. What we do is we settle in meditatively to the process of gestation and prepare for the externalization of the life that is within us. Yes? So from Krishna to Buddha to Jesus to Baha'u'llah to Muhammad, everybody has said the gift of the source is within you in full measure.
Absolutely.
Okay? So everything there is about the source of all existence, you're supposedly or endowed with that, or allegedly endowed with that, yes?
Absolutely.
And so the question is, how do we externalize the heaven within us?
Absolutely. Yeah. Good question.
And in the process, go sane. People are used to going insane, right? But we want to see if we can turn the tide and
go out sane. Generate.
Yes, exactly. And there has never been a better time for this kind of challenge, because if you look at it a particular way, we're pushed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very few people can figure out how can we stop this bloodlust from erupting into world war.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people can figure out how can we turn this planet green again, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we create a set of profound relationships where we can go for, like, you know, like Isaac Asimov, the great science fiction writer, and Frank Herbert, the writers of Dune. And if you look at their stories, the arc of Dune, the one that just made, I'm saying that one because it's so popular now, but when this Dune starts, the human family has been doing its thing for 35,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we're trying to figure out how we can make it to the next five generations, to the next, you know, 300 years or so, five to 10 generations, right? And so there's the potentiality gap when we interrogate ourselves about how long can we hold out here compared to what's the possibility. That's a big gap. And that's the opportunity that we're speaking life into, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. So what say you in terms of speaking life into that, the gap?
Well,
Bridget.
Initially, I think we need to start, like, even in our individual sessions, we need to mm-hmm. start with the question of who are you? Who are you being and becoming?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And let's play with do a little wordplay for a second. the scientific name for human beings is Homo sapiens, right? Sometimes people say Homo sapiens, sapiens, as if there's a subspecies. But the person that gifted the human family with that title as a scientific name had some kind of insight happening, as far as I'm concerned, because Homo is from the Greek. Both of these words are from the Greek. Homo translates into one with, right? And the word sapiens translates into wise understanding. Mm-hmm. So our name, we're named one, as a family, we are one with wise understanding. Okay?
Indeed.
So when we distill it down and look at it, like say, look, we're sentient beings, and all my science fiction fans, everybody's heard that word. It's a sentient being, an entity that is aware of itself, which that's the dictionary level, but we add, and aware of its environment.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So that's sentient. I mean, that's sentience, to be aware of one's existence and the existence of your environment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the wife of sentience from our work is sapiens.
Mm-hmm.
Because how far can you get being aware of yourself and your environment and your surroundings and the rest of existence without wisdom?
There you go. That's right.
So we have experienced several hundred years of progress where we have overdeveloped what we do with who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't refined this process of cultivating wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And now we're in this pinch where it looks like it's up to the people of Source and Spirit to pull. It's almost too late to pull a rabbit out the hat, right? We got to pull a hot bowl of rabbit suit, a hot bowl of Hossam Pfeffer out the hat. Ready? All right. And that means life is calling for us to externalize our magic, to externalize the heaven which is resident within each and every one of us.
Absolutely. And that leads us towards resonating better, more, and intuitively with nature.
That is super, super essential. And that, in my opinion, gets us into a qualitative cultural difference. So for the past several hundred years, Western culture has done a great job in showing what can be done with the material possibilities, how prosperity can be generated, okay? But it has done it without the ethic of the Aboriginal people integrated with it in a way that makes sense if one is committed to that 35, that long now, that extraordinary arc of growth and development that can only happen if you're operating in harmony with your living system.
Mm-hmm.
If you're operating as if your living system is your enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still, you can get a lot done, but that's going to be what they call a kill switch in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we have flipped our own kill switch. Now, let me put a little pin in that, because there's an argument. You know, there are folks that say, well, I don't believe in climate change, and none of that matters,
mm-hmm.
right? Because let's think of it very basically. When we pull back the covers on this argument, it looks like this. Are we destroying our environment fast or slow? That's really what the argument boils down to. It's not whether or not we have the capacity to change the environment, change our living conditions, okay? It's like, are we doing it fast enough to matter, okay? Mm-hmm. Then the other part is how much is it going to cost? Is it going to be expensive or cheap? So while other people are arguing about whether or not we're destroying ourselves fast or slow, and if it's going to be expensive or cheap, the rest of us are, how is it we've designed a sociocultural system, which is now the dominant influence in the world, that whether fast or slow, expensive or cheap, is going to eventually flip a kill switch?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who are we being in our essence that is keeping us from doing what elephants do and whales and ants, which is live in a way which is continuously regenerative, continuously supportive of this, of our the living systems we live in and the living system we live on? And that can be the ground floor of a kind of spirituality that takes it out of our heads, out of a fantasy, out of our looking up at the sky for help, right?
Mm.
And gives us a very practical way to express our enchantments.
Mm. Indeed. Yeah. Makes sense. You are always bringing it. You're always bringing it. I know those people. I know those people over there saying, where did he come from?
I doubt it, but let's continue.
You know, but this is the reason why I really wanted to do this, is because it's time to really be revealed in terms mm-hmm. of all of the essences of what we bring. You know, I always ask people, what's in your bag? You know, what you mm-hmm. get? What you got? What you got? Let me see it. You know, but your bag is definitely full and of goodies.
Well, let's really empty out some more goodies. Let's empty
out some more goodies. Yeah, go ahead.
I've heard this from Dune. In times of crisis, people tend to switch towards one of two directions, unconsciousness and hyperconsciousness, and the difference is made by training, right? But let me speak to for a moment to the people who are flipping towards unconsciousness in the face of everything that is seen as challenging, right? This is what you train for. And unlike conventional challenges, you're already equipped with the gifts and the answer. It's just a matter of bringing them out, okay? And we do that first by getting very sober and putting our feet on the ground about what's going on, right? So if you need hope, understand that it's installed, that what we need to address this challenge is part of our innate and installed equipment. Okay? Our gifts are sufficient for transmuting the situation. And you never get a great testimonial if the challenge is weak. Right? And so there's that. But what does it mean to flip into hyperconsciousness? Right? So there are people who are interested, who've been holding back, who've been feeling that just the pursuit of heaven itself, being a good person, is and demonstrating prosperity. Maybe that's good enough for everything, but they feel like there's something more. Right? So for these kinds of people also, there's never been a better time to stretch beyond their limit. Okay? Now, for one of the things that I'm going to be bringing forward is a conversation called Let's Establish a Global Non-Aggression Pact and Set Up an International System of Amnesty. I mean, an international armistice. Let me say that. And that's a reasonable sort of pole vault. It's not as high as seeking peace, because peace is a very sophisticated state. Now, for those of you who are not sure what an armistice is, I don't know if everybody knows what an armistice is. It is a situation where parties are at war, and it, for the time being, whatever time of the agreement is, they decide to stop fighting. That's what the United States has with North Korea. So North Korea and the United States are technically at war, but we haven't fired on each other since the Korean War, right? Amnesty is about ending all forms of slavery. Now, here in the United States, we know that in Libya, there are open slave markets now. We know that there's human sex trafficking. In the United States, there's the exemption clause of the 13th Amendment, which means everybody that's incarcerated can be treated as a slave. And we have the prison leasing program, which Target and a whole, like I got a list of about 50 other corporations use for free labor, right? So there's wonderful challenges. That doesn't have to be, what I'm saying is, it doesn't have to be on that scale. You know, it could be wanting your neighborhood to be free from crime.
Okay.
It could be wanting your family to return to a state of harmony. There's a guru who recently passed away. His name was Sri Chimoy. And what his followers were famous for, sometimes infamous, was he would say, just pick anything and do it more than anything, like, take it to the limit, right? And this sort of plowed the earth, plowed the ground for the idea of human extraordinariness in ordinary things. Okay, I mean, they would set a record of any kind. So people set push-up records. You know those little balls that we have in the kids that they bounce on? There's a person that set a record for bouncing on one of those balls for miles, right?
Yeah.
And the super marathon, the ultra marathon tradition came out of Sri Chimwai's work. Okay, so now there are marathons that are 100, 150 miles, whereas a standard marathon is 23 miles. There are people that have conditioned themselves to run for 5 days.
Whoa.
3 days. It's crazy stuff like that. And this is just to tease us into, hey, those of us who are people of source, there's a whole lot we can do. And the jazz of spirituality says you could pick anything for your purpose.
Absolutely.
As long as you know it's going to create coherence, all right, and harmony, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what do I mean by coherence in a living system? So in mechanical systems, there's something called superconductivity, which is the ability to conduct a charge without any resistance. And it requires, you know, right now, the state of the art in superconductors means that you got to get it really cold, right? And so those molecules in that material, gold and other materials like that, certain ceramics, can easily become superconductors when you put them under the right conditions. And the elements, the molecules in that, they line up so that protons and the energy can just flow through without bumping into anything, okay? So there's no waste heat, no wasted effort. So in living systems, we call that coherence, right? So metaphorically, say, if you're real cold-blooded, you know what I'm saying? but becoming still in your essence creates a coherence. And you have people like Dr. D'Souza and people who are now like advanced medical people, they're talking about this kind of phenomena where there's a harmony between, they talk about mostly the heart and mind, but let's add to that, right? Because they talk about the heart as being the great signal producer, and right, but there's the third thing, there are really three great centers of thought. There's the brain in the gut, the brain in the chest, and the brain in the skull. The brain in the gut is called the enteric nervous system. When a human being is in coherence, these systems set up a harmony that's really like a biological musical chord, okay? Right? And the longer that harmony is set up, you get more and more appropriate, life-giving metabolism going on, right?
Okay.
So that's what happens when you meditate.
Okay.
And this is when you become a decent meditator, the system goes into that kind of coherence and harmony, where the things that you dwell upon in your heart, when the things that you think about and the things that you feel match up and have a greater impact, you make a more beautiful sound, a more impactful sound, and it's more likely that what we focus on in those times has capacity to precipitate into the three-dimensional world.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm sure there's probably some buzz in that chat room right now, but I want us to take a quick break, and then are you good with that, Russell?
I am.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's do it.
Well, Ambassador, thank you for pumping the brakes. I actually needed a break and didn't even realize it.
And I hope, I can read you.
Yeah, maybe they gave the audience a chance to sort of digest that that little bolus of information, because we really want to give practical, actionable approaches here, right? And we ended off talking about this is what effective meditation does. It creates, and I don't think you're going to hear this phrase, but it creates a state of human superconductivity. There may be people are using that. I haven't looked for a while. But that's what it looks like physiologically. But to your clairs out there, your clairvoyance and all like that, people look radiant. Like people, and this gets to the point where we're understanding that we are beings of sound and light, fundamentally, most fundamentally, right? So the work that we've been doing over the years on Bhasa, as you know, and I'm just saying this for the sake of the audience, has been helping people amplify the capacity to stand as a radiant being, so that when you enter a room, you're shining in a way where people automatically start to win. They begin to adjust their presence. Causes them to. It's like what happens when a tuning fork tuned to a certain frequency is struck. Right. You strike that tuning fork in an orchestra chamber, and everything in that orchestra that is tuned to that frequency will begin to vibrate. You know, even if you have I remember once I was holding my horn and somebody struck a tuning fork, I could feel part of my horn vibrating. I wasn't even playing. You see what I'm saying? So we are sonic and luminous beings, right? Now, the beautiful thing about this is people have been saying this for thousands of years, right? But now we have the data. So it's really important to understand this is no longer metaphysics. It's physics and biophysics. It's straight up biophysics now. So you can use it without anybody being like, now if they call you a witch, it'll be compliment, right? If they call you like, oh, you're just doing that woo-woo stuff. Yeah, this woo-woo stuff is at the bleeding cutting edge of human understanding. You better get on the train, get off the tracks, get on the train, or get run over, right? Because there's no question now that what we're dealing with is a more proximate description of what it means to be a human being.
Yes, sir.
And so, but by proximate, I mean very accurate, not very accurate, but it's much more accurate than it ever has been in modern times. Now, it could be that the ancients it seems like the ancients understood it even better than we do now. But we have a different set of languages that we're using.
Okay.
For example, there's this beautiful physicist name. Like, I don't mean physically, like his work is beautiful, elegant. His name is Nassim Haramein. And this dude, and this is not a fringe or garage physicist, He started an organization called the Resonance Academy because in academia, they were treating him like a stepchild. But what he has done is he has done the mathematics to help us understand the relationship between the very large events in the cosmos and the very small events in the world. So everything from the quantum world to supermassive black holes that hold galaxies together, he has written the work. That harmonizes those two phenomena. Whereas before, with Einsteinian work, it was just like, what's the relationship here? Now, remember when Jada Pinkett Smith, for those of you who are international, Jada Pinkett Smith was one of our celebrities. When she was talking about her extramarital affair, she called it entanglement. Mm-hmm. That is not entanglement.
Far from
real entanglement is the idea that the information in your being is continuous throughout all the cosmos, right?
Right.
But we never really knew how. And so, like, everybody knows about black holes, especially my science fiction. Shout out my science fiction folks. But every galaxy circulates, just like our planet circulates around the sun. Our sun is called Sol. Every galaxy circulates around a supermassive black hole. All right. So the minimum size of a massive black hole is about 68 times the size of Jupiter. They're big. Our sun isn't even big enough to be a real black hole, in the conventional astrophysics, right?
Sure.
But one of the things that Haramin has described is when he says, well, let me look at these protons and do the math, this brother discovered that the every aspect of a proton exactly matches every aspect of even the largest black hole.
Whoa.
And that all the information imprinted on a black hole is available simultaneously to every other black hole. So if you have a quintillion protons in your body, and there are uncounted protons in every molecule around you, real entanglement means that all the information in the universe is available to you through all or any of the black holes in or around you. This is why the ancients used to say it is that in which we live, move, and have our being. Right? So there are trainings out there. You can go out and pay $7,000 or $8,000. There's a program called the Psychobionaut or 40 Years of Zen, where you can go pay between $15,000 and $20,000. No, it's gone. It's like the program out of Arizona is how do they call it? Anyway, these two programs will hook you up to machines and show you how to get to Zen level meditations within 5 days, meditative capacity within 5 days. Now, indigenous people do it by dancing.
Indeed.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Our people would dance to exhaustion and or you know, even if we don't want to talk about the use of entheogens like ayahuasca or iboga or any of these psychogenic medicines, right? All throughout the indigenous world, there are regulated practices that help people connect profoundly with this entangled state.
Right? Yes, sir.
Right. You don't have to pay $25,000 is the point. You can, and we might. It sounds like a lot of fun. But in real life, it's not hard, right? But now you can get a watch or a headband that can tell you when your brainwave states are compatible with this kind of deep understanding, right? So there's a company out there that sells something looks just like a headband that will give you good evidence if you're in a deep brainwave state that typically people are profoundly connected. So brainwave states, I don't call them brainwave states. I call them biorhythms, the old-fashioned term, because it keeps it musical, right? But walking around day to day, they call that beta. Then when you go into a relaxed, focused state, they call that alpha. Then when you go into meditation, that starts theta. And these are slower and slower rhythms, which are measured in hertz. The same thing they measure frequencies of light bulbs in. Okay, so this is not exotic at all, right? And then the state where the other four common state is delta, which is typically in an untrained person, the state you're in when you're being born or dying. But that's a communion state. And a person can be trained to achieve that state of connection, right? Fairly easily. In fact, you can't be a top executive or athlete these days and not have a coach to teach you that. Many of these people who are very super top performing executives are performing in theta or delta, which in the average person, they're what they call somnambulant. They look like they're sleeping. So deep hypnosis, you know, when we were getting results with people reversing cancer, having spontaneous bone healing, we weren't measuring it, but we would get them in these deep abiding states and hold them there for several days at a time.
Right? Yes.
And they would come out, go back to the doctor, and the cancer would be gone or going away.
Mm-hmm.
We had people who had broken bones in previous times, like years ago.
Yes, sir.
The doctor came back and says, look, how many months ago did you break your bones? Because they're healing really fast. No, it was 7 years ago. Impossible.
Right. You know,
there's a ticket to a miraculous living that's right here.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And so our job is to raise the ceiling of what's possible. You know, the cynic can be counted on to invent nothing, to discover nothing, and to innovate nowhere, right? So cynicism is a problem that people of Source really want to check, you know, check it like a hockey goalie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the limited belief systems are what is helping us stay stuck in, well, what can we do? And when we boil that down, there's a challenge with people being infected with a profound conviction. It's not a belief about their own powerlessness and the relative powerlessness of the human family, even when it's stuff we're doing to ourselves.
Indeed.
And down in the ghetto, there's one phrase for that. They say, that's crazy, baby. That's just crazy.
That's crazy. That's cray-cray.
We are profoundly powerful, but we do need to be given the keys for unlocking that power. And for some of us, it takes time. I can testify to that, right? But what we can do immediately is raise the ceiling of what we understand as a gospel fact is possible, right? So in international relations, for example, we're talking about, hey, we need y'all to just quit fighting for a while. And the cynic would say, well, what kind of sense does that make? It makes the same kind of sense that we had in the old Wild West. Now, none of us are old enough to remember the Wild West, but we have wonderful fictional representations of it in the cowboy movies. And everybody knows that if you was in a cowboy movie and somebody got shot, the sheriff came, sheriff was a fair fight. We're both armed and he pulled first. Now he's dead. And everybody would just walk away happily.
Right. It's over.
Because that was the standard.
Right.
If it was a British romance, I challenge you to duel. And the next morning, they go and fight to the death.
That's right.
And that was common culture. That was like high culture, right? It got to a point where we realized that in day-to-day society, we can't just be killing each other like that on GP. Even if there's rules. So if somebody murders somebody today, right, and this, no matter if it was self-defense, just there's still going to be an inquiry, and you're not guaranteed to get off, okay?
At all.
This evolution must occur on an international level, because most of us, all we want to do is have babies and grow gardens, play music and dance,
mm-hmm.
And we cannot do that if they're dropping bombs on us.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm.
The only kind of bombs we need to be dropping is some hot and heavy bars from hip hop. Okay, that's the kind of bombs that need to be dropped. And of course, you know, it's fun to watch it on TV. Right? I was just watching some kind of Navy SEAL show the other night. I was getting all excited. But there's no way I want that acted out in real life.
Absolutely
not. Why? Because I'm dedicated to the long now. I want to see us live for 35,000 years, right? Even if there's small conflicts, we want to be able to give ourselves the opportunity to express what life is calling for continuously. Does this make sense?
This absolutely makes sense. And I know that this is getting to be so juicy, and I'm so glad that I jumped in with you here in terms of the deep dive, because you have so much to offer, and it's not even, we're about to be at the top of the hour, and you still have so much burning inside you, and I feel it. So, because I know you 30 years, I know you. So we're going to need another show. So we will be back in 2 weeks. And after this is over in a few moments, let you wrap it up, Wessel. But we will be doing sessions for discounted sessions for $5.55. So if y'all want to come over to 12listen.com, we shall be there waiting for you. So back to you, Wessel. Go ahead and wrap it up.
I just want to give gratitude for 12listen. I want to let the people know that we have a wonderful engineer, Serena, working with us. Mombasa, grace and appreciation for you and everybody who's listening and everybody who will listen on the replay. Share this with your friends and family if you find value in it. But also, there's so many resources out here. We're well past the point where the information around metaphysics and spirituality is no longer graded and guarded in temples and places like that. Okay, you can go into just about any bookstore and get some of the information that I've been sharing. But the idea is to begin to amplify your sense of wise understanding. And as your awareness expands to yourself, understanding of yourself and the world around you, that we nurture and elevate the wise and the sentience and the sapience spiraling and rising together, so that that information is applied in a way which supports yourself, your friends, your family, your community, and the world.
And what would you say, just a practice to put in effect for the next 2 weeks until we see them again?
Okay. Well, one, take care of yourself in the basic ways. Make sure that you are got all the naturopathic, you're well fed, you're well watered, you're well rested, right? But if you're not somebody who indulges in meditative practice, please do that, because the meditative state is always there for you. And practicing it, it doesn't matter whether it's moving meditation, whether you do it while you're walking, making love, or sitting in the lotus position, achieving a state of an abiding state of calm, focused attention will do wonders, right? And the beautiful thing about it is you can be in meditation doing anything. But when the martial artists talk about combat with no mind, that's a meditative state. I learned how to meditate as a competitive swimmer. I didn't know that was what was happening. But after that first mile of stroke, stroke, breathe, stroke, breathe, right? Breathe, breathe, stroke, whatever it was. You go into that state. Runners, I call it a runner's high, right? But indulge in meditation in a way that is allow you to touch that heaven within, emerge that inner smile. And that doesn't, unless you go to the Cyber Bionite program, it's not going to cost you anything. It could cost you $25,000, but that's a little excessive.
way much.
In the place where you are, into your inner temple. Mm-hmm. And if you need instruction, these days you can go to YouTube and find really high quality instruction on how to begin a spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary to have a guru or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think that does it. Mombasa, would you like to say anything else?
Shout out to Mark for having us do the deep dive. I love you, Mark. Yes, indeed. So we thank you for joining us, and we will be back in 2 weeks. So we'll see you then. Much love to you.